Good morning. My pleasure to welcome you here to our service this morning. It's good to see everyone here today. It is Grandparents' Day, so happy grandparents to all of us old folks that are blessed with grandkids. So we're going to stand and sing this morning as we open our service to praise Him, praise Him. So if you're able to stand with us as we open our service this morning. Good to see everyone today.
Jesus, our blessed Redeemer, sing, O earth, His wonderful love proclaim. Hail Him, highest archangels in glory, strength and honor give to His holy name. Like a shepherd, Jesus will guard His children in His arms. All day long, praise Him, tell of His excellent greatness, praise Him, ever in joyful song. Praise Him, Jesus our blessed Redeemer, for our sins He suffered and bled and died. He eternal salvation. Hail Him, Jesus the crucified. Sound His praises, Jesus who bore our sorrows. Love unbounded, wonderful, deep and strong. Praise Him, tell of His excellent greatness. Praise Him, ever in joyful song. Praise Him, Jesus our blessed Redeemer. Heavenly portals loud with hosannas ring. Jesus, Savior, reigneth forever and ever. Crown Him, prophet and priest and king. Christ is coming over the world victorious. Power and glory unto the Lord belong. Praise Him, tell of His excellent greatness. Praise Him, ever in joyful song.
Greet each other as we sing, He is Lord. Take an opportunity to greet each other this morning.
He is Lord, He is Lord. He is risen from the dead and He is Lord. Every knee shall bow, every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. He is Lord, He is Lord. He is risen from the dead and He is Lord. Every knee shall bow, every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. He is Lord, He is Lord. He is risen from the dead and He is Lord. Every knee shall bow, every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord.
Thank you. You may be seated.
David said, I was glad when they said to me, let us go into the house of the Lord. And we are glad that you are here today. We welcome those who are watching by Facebook and YouTube and those who listen by way of radio. We welcome you to our service today. I'll be preaching today from 2 Corinthians 12, and we'll be talking about the purpose of pain and suffering. So we'll be talking about that from the life of the Apostle Paul today. But we're glad that you're here. May we pray together. Father, we do thank You for this time. We thank You for this day of worship. And we thank You that You are worthy of our worship. And that's why we're here today, because You are worthy. You're God and You're sovereign. We just thank you for all that you do for us. And we thank you that we have a time set aside that we can come together as a church family and just worship you. It's good to be together today. And we find strength in you and strength in being together. In your name we pray. Amen.
A couple of announcements just to take note of. One is in your bulletin. The annual picnic will be next week, September 18th at 5 o'clock. So remember that. And one announcement that's not in your bulletin is the second food distribution will be this Friday. So it's the 16th. So those that can help, be here about 9:45 Friday, and we'll have our food distribution with Second Harvest this Friday. So remember that. We're going to ask that you continue singing with us this morning as we sing Know Not One and the Lily of the Valley.
There's not a friend like the lowly Jesus. No, not one, no, not one. None else could heal all our soul's diseases. No, not one, no, not one. Jesus knows all about our struggles. He will guide till the day is done. There's not a friend like the lowly Jesus. No, not one. No, not one. No friend like him is so high and holy. No, not one. No, not one. And yet no friend is so meek and lowly. No, not one. No, not one. Jesus knows all about our struggles. He will guide till the day is done. There's not a friend like the lowly Jesus. No, not one. No, not one. There's not an hour that he is not near us. No, not one. No, not one. No night so dark but his love can cheer us. No, not one. No, not one. Jesus knows all about our struggles. He will guide till the day is done. There's not a friend like the lowly Jesus. No, not one. No, not one. Was there a gift like the Savior given? No, not one. No, not one. Will he refuse us a home in heaven? No, not one. No, not one. Jesus knows all about our struggles. He will guide till the day is done. There's not a friend like the lowly Jesus. No, not one. No, not one. I found a friend in Jesus. He's everything to me. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. The lily of the valley, in him alone I see all I need to cleanse and make me fully whole. In sorrow he's my comfort, in trouble he's my stay. He tells me every care on him to roll. He's the lily of the valley, the bright and morning star. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. He, all my pilgrims has taken, and all my sorrows borne. In temptation he's my strong and mighty tower. I have all for him forsaken, and all my idols torn from my heart, and now he keeps me by his power. Though all the world forsake me, and Satan tempts me sore, through Jesus I shall safely reach the goal. He's the lily of the valley, the bright and morning star. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. He will never, ever leave me, nor yet forsake me here. While I live by faith and do his blessed will. A wall of fire about me, I've nothing now to fear. With his manna he my hungry soul shall fill. Then sweeping up to glory, I'll see his blessed face, where rivers of delight shall ever roll. He's the lily of the valley, the bright and morning star. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul.
Great songs of our relationship with him and what a friend he is to us. As our pastor mentioned, he is worthy of our praise, and it's good to be in God's house this morning. As David said, it's good to be in the Lord's house, and we need to have joy as we enter his house this morning. So we're going to sing that this morning. There's joy in the house of the Lord. So if you could stand, if you're able to stand, stand with us as we sing House of the Lord.
We worship the God who was, we worship the God who is, we worship the God who evermore will be. He opened the prison doors, he parted the raging sea. My God, he holds the victory. There's joy in the house of the Lord, there's joy in the house of the Lord today. And we won't be quiet. We shout out your praise. There's joy in the house of the Lord. Our God is surely in this place. And we won't be quiet. We shout out your praise. We shout out your praise. We sing to the God who heals. We sing to the God who saves. We sing to the God who always makes a way. Cause he hung up on that cross, then he rose up from that grave. My God, still rolling stones away. There's joy in the house of the Lord. There's joy in the house of the Lord today. And we won't be quiet. We shout out your praise. There's joy in the house of the Lord. Our God is surely in this place. And we won't be quiet. We shout out your praise. We were the beggars, now we're royalty. We were the prisoners, and now we're running free. We are forgiven, accepted, redeemed by his grace. Let the house of the Lord sing praise. We were the beggars, now we're royalty. We were the prisoners, now we're running free. We are forgiven, accepted, redeemed by his grace. Let the house of the Lord sing praise. There's joy in the house of the Lord. There's joy in the house of the Lord today. And we won't be quiet. We shout out your praise. There's joy in the house of the Lord. Our God God is surely in this place, and we won't be quiet. We shout out your praise. There's joy in the house of the Lord. There's joy in the house of the Lord today, and we won't be quiet. We shout out your praise. There's joy in the house of the Lord. Our God is surely in this place, and we won't be quiet. We shout out your praise. We shout out your praise. We shout out your praise.
Thank you. You may be seated. I'm going to slow it down a little bit with this song. I think during our time of pain or crisis or whatever, it may be hard to remember that our relationship with Him is constant, and He knows our name, and we can find faith and hope and comfort in that. So we're going to sing He Knows My Name. I'm sure you know the song. You join in with us as we sing this morning. You do hear us when we call. God, will you see every tear? You know every thought. We thank you for that personal relationship and that friendship and that connection we can have with you through your Son, Jesus Christ. God, we ask that you lead, guide, and direct us through the rest of this service. I pray that everything that we say and do would bring you honor and glory. And it's in your name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, worship team. 2 Corinthians 12 is a very familiar chapter, I think, in the Bible, because a lot of us have been here in this chapter and trying to seek answers to questions that we may have. What I'm going to do today is deal with a subject that I don't know that we'll find all the answers to today, and there's no real simple answers to it, but I want to show you some principles from the Bible. This week, there was a very famous entertainer on Monday who had given an interview, and this entertainer said this: because of the way that my family treated me, I no longer believe in God. We're going to talk today about suffering, pain, evil, and that's the big question. And people have different reactions to pain and suffering and evil when we experience it. The Apostle Paul was one who knew what it was to live in pain. He knew what it was to suffer. And so I think that's why it's important to look at the Bible and see one example and how he dealt with all that. Now, Doctors Esteses are sitting back here today, Chris and Stephanie, and they know what, you know, they deal with pain every day. It's something that, you know, we, being human, we go through. It could be physical. It could be emotional or even spiritual. So it's just the part of life. And what Paul does here in this chapter, though, the way it helps us is to see how he dealt with it in a realistic way. You see, it's not if we have pain. It's not if we have suffering. It's not if evil is going to touch our lives. But it's when. When it happens, then how are we going to react to that? Well, we see an example from the Bible here from the Apostle Paul. We see how he dealt with it. He was no stranger to physical suffering. He was no stranger to emotional suffering. I mean, he knew what that was about. Do you realize that from the time this thorn in the flesh that he called, that's what he called the source of his suffering and pain, that was never removed from him? And he lived with pain the rest of his life. Now, this is Apostle Paul. This is a man who believed in God. This was a man who prayed to God. But yet, we see that he, you know, experienced this pain in his life. So we're going to look at him and look at this example that he's given us. Now, I think if we can get a handle on this, and I'm not saying that we're going to understand all we need to know about it, but if we can get a handle on it, here's what it helps us with. If we can understand that God has a purpose, that there's a purpose in what we go through, if we can grab a hold of that, then it gives us hope. It gives us something to hang on to. It helps us during our time of difficulty. It helps us in our time of trouble. It helps us in our time of asking, why, God? Or what's going on? And so we look beyond that to really say, okay, God, what's this all about? And that's what Apostle Paul does here. Now, this is a common question that we all have. Why is there so much pain, suffering, heartache, evil in the world? Very common question. And you'd think that we would have a simple answer for all that, but we don't. I mean, it's something we all struggle with. I think we struggle more with this than any other thing in the Bible. And like I said, people really, you know, they react to it differently. They really do. I had a good friend in Cleveland who was a pastor, and he told me this. He said, me and my wife, we don't have close friends. I said, why is that? He said, because we have been hurt so much, we don't make friends anymore. That's pain. That's suffering. That's something that they were going through. Here we see from the words of Apostle Paul, beginning at 2 Corinthians 12:7, we see his words. Listen, verse 7. And lest I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelations. In other words, God had given him great revelations, visions. He was called up to the third heaven. He was blessed to see all that. God gave him information there that no doubt that he wrote about in the Bible from then on. All the doctrines we read about in the Bible and so forth. All that. But he says, there was given to me a thorn in flesh, which was given to me, a messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. Concerning this thing, I pleaded. Do you see his pain? Do you see the suffering here? Do you see the heartache here? I pleaded with the Lord 3 times that it might depart from me. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient to you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. So what I want to do, rather than try to give you a simple answer here, is deal with some of the concepts that we find in the Bible in dealing with pain, suffering, evil, heartache, and all that. One is God's sovereignty. We believe that God is sovereign. So we believe in the sovereignty of God. In other words, He is God and we're not. He understands things that we don't. When I say that He is God and when He is worthy of our worship, that means this, that His thoughts are not our thoughts. His ways are not our ways. And so that's what Paul's dealing with here. He's trusting in the sovereignty of God. Last week, I started this series that we're going to be in here with the idea of trust. And what I talked about in trust last week was that you had to have the right view of God. There's a lot of false views about God out there today. One false view about God is this: if God loved me, then He would heal me. Did Paul love God? Yes, he did. Did God heal Paul? No, he didn't. Did God answer the prayer? God answered the prayer for Paul, but it was in a different way than what he expected. But there's that false idea out there about it. If God loved me, then He would heal me. When I spoke of the entertainer this week that denied God, that said, I don't believe in God anymore. See, that's the idea there. If God really loved me and if God was really real, then I wouldn't have any problems. I wouldn't have any heartaches and things like that. Well, as Christians, as believers, we are not immune to pain, to suffering, to heartache, to sickness. We're not immune to any of that. And so we need to understand that. You look at the Lord Jesus Christ when He was here on this earth. He was not immune to pain. He was not immune to suffering. And you look at what He went through for us. So that's why the Bible says that we have, someone in heaven we can talk to. He knows your pain. He knows your heartache. And that's the hope that we have. But He is sovereign. We also have to understand the concept of human limitations. We don't understand everything. We don't. There are some mysteries to life. There are some answers that will never come our way on this side of eternity. So we have limitations there with that. And then we live in a fallen world. We live in a world that's fallen. We live in a world that's broken. And because of that, there's going to be evil. There's going to be pain. There's going to be suffering. And you're going to get your heart broken because we live in this fallen world. And then another concept, I think, and I think we see this in the Apostle Paul here, is God's reminders. If anything will bring us closer to God than anything else, it's going to be pain, suffering, and heartache. And it's those reminders that come our way when our hearts are broken. when we go through pain, when we go through suffering, whether it's physical or emotional or whatever it is, that's a reminder, hey, we need God. God, I need your help. I'm dealing with something here that's beyond me that I need your help. Psalm 120, verse 1, the psalmist said, in my trouble, I cried to the Lord, and he answered me. So trouble is going to be a part of life. C.S. Lewis said this. He said, God whispers to us in our pleasure, but speaks to us in our conscience, but shouts to us in our pain. So in other words, that's where he gets our attention. Now, from the Bible, we understand that sometimes God uses pain and suffering to get our attention. I mean, that's just part of the Bible. And like I said, his way is not our way, but we believe that he is sovereign. God uses tragic events to remind us of this one thing. We are not home yet. Are you ready for heaven? Folks, I am. I'm ready. And see, all this stuff in the world and all the things that we go through, that's just another reminder that we are not home yet. One of the verses I love in the Bible is Revelation 21. And in Revelation 21:4, listen to what the Scripture says. And it's speaking about heaven. And this is how God reminds us where we're going. Listen to it. And God shall wipe away every tear from their eyes. Have you ever cried? Has your heart ever been broken? Have you ever been in pain? Have you ever gone through suffering and heartache? Well, in heaven, that's not going to be there. And so what we find in this earth is not going to be there. And so it's just a reminder of us what heaven's going to be about. No more tears in their eyes. There should be no more death. Now, we know what that is. And our hearts have been broken by death of loved ones. No sorrow, no crying. There should be no more pain. That won't be in heaven. But we're not in heaven yet. We're on this earth. And so this is part of what we go through. So then understand, you know, really pain, suffering, heartache, all that. Then it's, we need to keep these concepts in mind here. Jonathan Edwards, you're probably familiar with him in American history. Jonathan Edwards was one of the great leaders in the Great Awakening here in America. He pastored the Northampton Church in Northampton, Massachusetts, for 18 years. He was one of the greatest theologians, and some people say he's the greatest theologian that ever lived. And we still have his writings available today. You can go to the library or on the internet, and you can read, you know, Jonathan Edwards if you want to do that. He had his heart broken after 18 years of being a pastor at Northampton, because the congregation in Northampton decided that they were going to vote him out as pastor. You know why they voted him out? Now, here's people that he had pastored to for 18 years, ministered to, had a heart for ministry. But they voted him out of that church because he insisted that before anyone could take communion, that they had to give a public confession of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Because of that stand, they voted him out. He went to minister after that to the Native Indians here in America. He really taught them on a second grade level. And he did that for a few years. He's a broken man. Eventually, Princeton University came after him. They wanted him to be president. And he kept turning them down. And finally, he accepted that position as president at Princeton. He kept that position for 3 months, and then he died. He died a broken man. You've heard of Spurgeon in England. Spurgeon got caught up in what was called the downgrade controversy. And it was because of his stand on the Word of God, because of his belief in the Bible. The Baptist Council, the Baptist Fellowship in England had turned against him. They voted him out. this great preacher of you know, the Word of God. But they voted him out. After that, Spurgeon was never the same. He died with a broken heart. When you look at the scripture here, Paul gives us a model how to deal with hurt, pain, suffering in life. He gives us five reasons. Now, like I said, we can apply this to any, you know, it can be emotional, it could be physical, it could be whatever. But I want you to listen to these principles. God uses pain, first of all, to reveal our spiritual condition. You know, there's something that's going to reveal where we are with the Lord more than anything else. It's going to be pain. Now, God knows where you are in your relationship with Him. He knows where I am in my relationship with Him. But you know what pain does? It reveals to us. It shows to us what our spiritual commitment is. And like I said, when pain and suffering and heartache comes and trouble comes, people respond to that in different ways. Some people just walk away. Some people will say, I don't believe in God anymore. But what we need to do, though, is, you know, we need to get close to Him rather than try to run away from Him. But it revealed where Paul was, and what it revealed about Paul was he was a true believer. Now, why did that need to be done in Paul's life? You know what Paul's problem was at Corinth? He had people there who said things against him that were not true. They attacked his character. They were saying that Paul's character was in question, that he wasn't who he was supposed to be, and all that kind of thing. And so Paul was dealing with that. But not only that, he was dealing with whatever this thorn in the flesh was. Now, a second thing that the pain did with Paul is it made him humble. He'd been called up to the third heaven. And with the people he was dealing with here, with believing in Greek philosophy and all that kind of thing, visions and revelations and all that kind of thing was very important to them. And Paul says, okay, I could talk about that. But he says, I'm not going to do that because this thorn in the flesh has humbled me. So God used that to humble him. Now, there's been a lot of debate through the years about what this thorn in the flesh was. The word thorn there in the Greek language means this. It means a stake. It's not talking about a little thorn on a rose bush. It's talking about something that's been driven through his life. It's talking about a pain and suffering and heartache that he deals with every day of his life. And like I said, it's something that's you know, really, really working on him and really causing him a lot of pain in life, whatever this large stake was. Some people say it was his eyesight. Some people say, well, he had arthritis. I mean, there's all kinds of speculation with that. And because there's so much speculation with it, you know what that tells us? We don't know what it was. If you look at the scripture here, here's what the Bible says. The Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians here in verse 12 that in verse 7, if you look at it there, the thorn in the flesh was given to me. In other words, God allowed it. A messenger of Satan. So the idea there is it was a person. It was somebody giving him trouble. It was somebody causing him a lot of heartache and grief and pain and sorrow in his life. And then there are those who say it's something physical. So we don't, you know, the Bible here says it was a messenger of Satan that was causing all this pain in his life. God humbled him. God thirdly used the pain to draw him to himself. You know what Paul did with this pain? And I think here is a great example of what we need to do with our pain, our suffering, our heartache. Paul took it to the Lord. And the Bible says that what he did was to pray about that. He prayed about it three times. Who else in the Bible prayed about pain and suffering three times? Jesus. So when we go to God with our pain and suffering and heartache, we're following the example of Paul. But not only that, we're following the example of Jesus. And even though Jesus said, "Let this cup pass from me," he endured the pain. He went through the suffering. He died on the cross for you. He died on the cross for me. Paul was praying about this pain in his heart. And he said, "Lord, just take it from me. I plead with you. Take this from me that it might depart from me." God said, "No, I'm not going to take it away." Did God answer Paul's prayer? Yes, he did. But he answered that prayer in a different way than what Paul wanted. Now, we'll see how God answered the prayer here. Though God did not remove Paul's pain, that does not mean he didn't answer the prayer, but it was just simply different than what Paul had asked for. Number four, God uses pain to display his grace. How did God answer Paul's prayer? Look at verse 9. "And he said to me, 'My grace is sufficient.'" My grace is sufficient. He is all-sufficient God. The grace that he gives you, the grace that he gives me, is all-sufficient. You know what that means? That means it can help me with any problem, pain, heartache, suffering, anything that I face in life. It's through his grace. So what he does here, though, is to give strength through his grace. The word grace appears 155 times in the New Testament. It's one of those big theological words that we find, but it's very important. His grace is sufficient for every need in life that we face. God's grace was sufficient for the deepest pain in Paul's heart. I was listening to Chuck Swindoll the other day talking about this subject. And Swindoll said this. He said, "I have learned in my life that the people I trust the most are the people who've experienced the deepest pain in their life." And I thought, man, that's something. Why? Because they know what it is. They know where they've been. And they know where the help is. And then number five, God used pain in Paul's life and in our life to perfect his power. God gave Paul his strength. "My grace is sufficient for you." My strength is, you know, will be perfected in your life. In your weakness, I'm going to help you. See, Paul was out of answers. Paul couldn't fix the problem. The pain wasn't going to go away. The suffering was still going to be there. And so, where did he turn? He turned to God's power. He turned to God's strength. Folks, that's how we make it. We're not going to make it in our own strength. We're not going to make it in our own power. Why? Because it's too much for us. I mean, it really is. And you just think about the great Apostle Paul and what he carried for the rest of his life. Now, this was before he wrote a lot of the books in the New Testament. Before he wrote Philippians, that great book about joy. And all that kind of stuff. Though Paul's circumstances had not changed, you know what did change? Paul changed. So God used this in his life to change him. And he'll do the same for us. And so rather than driving us away from God, then we've got to do what Paul did. We've got to embrace it. That doesn't mean that we love it. That doesn't mean that we like the suffering or pain or heartache, but we've got to embrace it to say, "Okay, God, What are you saying to me? What are you teaching me? What is it I can learn from this pain that I have in life? So that's where Paul was. So what God did was this. He gave him the power to rise above the circumstance. And that's what he'll do with us. He gives us that power, that strength to rise above the circumstances that we face in life. You know, having the right perspective toward pain and evil and suffering and sickness in the world, what it really does, you know, it comes down to the cornerstone of Christian living. It really does. And if we can gain the biblical perspective with this, and we can understand these concepts here, that, hey, He's God and we're not. God's thoughts are not our thoughts. His ways are not our way. You know, if we can gain that, then it helps us to embrace these things in life. You know, many times what we do is focus on removing the difficulty rather than focusing on the answer that God gives us. And our focus needs to be on the answer. And our focus needs to be on God and not necessarily the difficulty. Over and over again, what we've been told is this. We don't live on explanations. There are people in the Bible who went through suffering and pain and heartache. I mean, it's all through the Bible. And they were never given an explanation of why they suffered. You know the conversation that Job had with the Lord about his suffering and pain? God never told Job why he went through all that. There was a conversation in heaven between Satan and God. God never told Job about that. But he said, okay, there's my servant Job. If you think you can destroy his faith, then have at it. Job never knew about that conversation. And I don't know that he ever knew about that until he got to heaven. But you know what Job lived on? He lived on the promises of God. Folks, the explanations may not come. The answers may not come. The pain and suffering may not go away. But our trust needs to be in God. We can trust Him. Paul accepted his pain because he trusted in the will of God and he depended on the grace of God. And when we embrace the trials God allows us to go through, you know what happens? It reveals our character. It draws us closer to God. It allows Him to display His grace and His strength in our lives. And that's the principles that we learn. Trust Him and put your faith in Him. I don't know what your pain is. I don't know what your suffering is. I don't know what your heartache is. But I know one who does. And I know one who cares. You know what the Bible says? The Bible says this in Psalms, that He takes our tears and He puts them in a bottle. I don't know what that says to you, but here's what it says to me. God knows. He understands. And one day, we're going to be in a place where there's no more tears, no more heartache, no more suffering. And you know what that is? That's heaven. But until we get there, we need to put our faith and trust in Him. He is a good God. He loves you, and He cares for you. So just take your pain to Him, take your suffering to Him, take your questions to Him. Why? Because He's big enough to handle it. And that's what we need to do. Let's stand for our prayer. Father, we thank You today for Your Word. And we thank You for this great example that we see in the Bible from the Apostle Paul. And Father, I pray today that we would learn from these principles and concepts that we've talked about here today. Because this is where we live. We live in a different time here in America. and in our world. We live in a time of a lot of stress. We live in a time when the suicide rate is at an all-time high. We live in a time when people are going through pain and suffering and heartache, and they're looking for the answers. And Lord, we know that You are the answer. We know that our hope is in You. Father, I pray that we would trust You, that we'd trust in Your grace, that we would trust in Your power, that we would trust in Your strength. I pray that we could come to the place where the Apostle Paul did, to embrace what he was going through. He didn't like it. He didn't love it. He wanted it changed. But he said, Lord, I'm going to embrace it as Your will. And I'm going to learn from it. And I'm going to get closer to You because of this. So, Lord, today I pray that You'd minister our hearts today in only a way that You can. And I pray that we would bring our pain, our suffering, our heartache, and all our questions to the foot of the cross this morning. In Your name we pray. Amen. Let's sing together, please.
Just as I am without one plea, but that Thy blood was shed for me, and that Thou bidst me come to Thee, O Lamb of God, I come, I come.
Well, I appreciate you being here today. Go in God's grace, go in His strength. And just remember this, folks, He'll help us. He really will. And the cornerstone of the Christian life is really to know Him and to trust Him. And that's where we want to be. And that's what makes the Christian life different and sets Christianity apart from all other religions of the world. And that is that we have a God who cares and a Savior who loves us. And we can trust Him. Okay? The praise team will come now, and they'll dismiss us in our closing course.
So think about that day in heaven. So there's coming a day. What a day that will be. And oh, the King is coming. You join in with us as we close our service today.
There is coming a day when no heartache shall come, no more clouds in the sky, no more tears to dim the eye. All is peace forevermore on that happy golden shore. What a day, glorious day that will be. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see, and I look upon His face, the one who saved me by His grace. When He takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land, what a day, glorious day that will be. Oh, the King is coming, the King is coming. I just heard the trumpet sounding, and now His face I see. Oh, the King is coming, the King is coming. Praise God, He's coming for me.
Thank you. You're dismissed.